This is a required course. Only the time you take it is voluntary. Free will does not mean that you can establish the curriculum. It means only that you can elect what you want to take at a given time. This course does not aim at teaching the meaning of love, for that is beyond what can be taught. It does aim, however, at removing the blocks to the awareness of love's presence, which is your natural inheritance. The opposite of love is fear, but what is all-encompassing can have no opposite. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. The purpose of this workbook is to train your mind in a systematic way to a different perception of everyone and everything in the world. It is doing these exercises that will make the goal of this course possible. An untrained mind can accomplish nothing. Transfer of training in true perception does not proceed as does transfer of the training of the world. If true perception has been achieved in connection with any person, situation, or event, total transfer to everyone and everything is certain. Remember that one exception held apart from true perception makes its accomplishments anywhere impossible. The very nature of true perception is that it has no limits. It is the opposite of the way that you see now. We're glad you joined us here today with the idea that through this a practice of mind training, you can change your mind about who you thought you were because it wasn't true, and discover who you really are in the momentary defenselessness of your idea to protect that body. We've come a long way together. Those of you who perhaps have been watching these videos or even practicing the idea within your own mind in the declaration of this mind training that there is no world, that this little conceptual dark form was nothing but a projection of your own mind, and in reality, it doesn't exist. And you have learned to protect yourself in your own mind by giving away your own thoughts. And at the moment of the extension of your mind in this practice, you have felt the joy of the realization, say to me, self-certainty, a discovery within your own mind of who you really are. You want to share this with me? Because this lesson for today, which follows the one of yesterday, the last lesson, we say, why wait for heaven? Heaven is shining in you now, is the idea of the certainty that that peace of God, the idea of the wholeness of you, is also present with you each moment in time. And that's the offering that I'm giving you in a moment of conversion, okay, of light form, that will show you a union, first based on purpose of why you're here. It's a decision within your own conceptual mind to seek and find an alternative not contained within the limitations of your conceptual ideas about yourself. A certainty of true self that has always been available to you, but which you have denied for your need to retain that identity of who you thought you were. Now you're here with me. and you're watching this video, and you're watching it in the particulars of the organization of your own idea about yourself and how the world views you and its aggregation of the containment of yourself. And I'm offering you a solution contained within you that is not of this world, but rather the particulars of the conversion from time to eternity that has always been available to you, but heretofore were not acceptable, but now have become acceptable, have they? Have you decided to search in truth for what you previously had been afraid to find? We're always astonished by so-called spiritual teachers who practice the idea of seek but don't find. Any reasonable mind could look at the certainty that if you really wanted to exercise within your own mind the certainty of who you must be, it would be available to you. So we had to reach some sort of fundamental conclusion that you actually didn't want to find what you were searching for. This is a very Socratic idea that the power of your mind to decide what you want is yours. Let's go back just for a moment and review lesson 188 that says, why wait for heaven? All around you is shining that bright light, and it's become available to you now because you've entered an aggregation of time where the conversion is evident to you. Listen. Why wait for heaven? Those who seek the light are merely covering their eyes. The light is in them now. Are you listening? Enlightenment is but a recognition, not a change at all. Light is not of the world, yet you who bear the light in you are alien here as well. The light came with you from your native home and stayed with you because it is your own. It is the only thing you bring with you from Him who is your source. It shines in you because it lights your home and leads you back to where it came from, and what? You are at home. You're at home where you've always been, won't you be? This light cannot be lost. Why wait to find it in the future or believe it has been lost already or was never there? It can so easily be looked upon that arguments which prove it is not there become ridiculous. Who can deny the presence of what he beholds in him? It is not difficult to look within, for there all vision starts. There is no sight, be it of dreams or from a truer source, that is not but the shadow of the seen through inward vision. There perception starts and there it ends. It has no source but this. The peace of God is shining in you now, and from your heart extends around the world. It pauses to caress each living thing and leaves a blessing with it that remains forever and forever. What it gives must be eternal. It removes all thoughts of the ephemeral and valueless. It brings renewal to all tired hearts and lights all vision as it passes by. All of its gifts are given everyone, and everyone unites in giving thanks to you who give and you who have received. The shining in your mind reminds the world of what it has forgotten, and the world restores the memory to you as well. From you, salvation radiates with gifts beyond all measure, given and returned. To you, the giver of the gift, does God Himself give thanks, and in His blessing does the light in you shine brighter, adding to the gifts you have to offer to the world. Listen, the peace of God can never be contained. Who recognizes it within himself must give it, and the means for giving it are in his understanding. He forgives because he recognizes the truth in him. The peace of God is shining in you now and in all living things. In quietness is it acknowledged universally, for what your inward vision looks upon is your perception of the universe. What a delightful idea that you can utilize the power of your mind to express, let's try vital, a vital certainty, an enlightenment of your individual correspondence with yourself is going to make you very happy. What will occur, and has occurred for many of us, and is certainly a part of this procedure, is you look at the world in a new light of the discovery of you, and you actually begin to laugh at the joke that you would actually occupy that body and be separate from the reality of what you are. Certainly, if you consider yourself to be a human being and suffer the consequences of your misestablishment, it's not funny. Certainly the idea that you can lose the things that you love, that you could actually occupy that body and suffer, that you would have to sacrifice, that you'd have to protect yourself. Look at you. You don't know who you are, what you're doing, where you came from, where you are, but yet you're taught by the world to hold on to that identity. What an absurdity. This has been a dream of death that's about to be converted despite your determination not to let it occur. Will you share this with me? If all of the power of the universe is actually yours, and I assure you that it is, being afraid of your own inherent power doesn't make any sense. And in not making any sense, you will allow that power to emerge within your own mind without the necessity to defend yourself from the world, which you have constructed in form in order to protect yourself from your own ideas about yourself. All of the ideas that you have about yourself are actually contained within your own mind, aren't they? Huh? You have set yourself up to be attacked by this world each time the idea of utilizing the power of God, which would give you the totality of the source of your reality, have occurred to you. But you're afraid of the use of the power of the light that's all around you. But you've been willing to listen to me, and you've been willing to acknowledge the possibility that a new knowledge of yourself can be obtained by a moment of realization that then becomes a part of the procedure. Will you share this with me? Say to me, let's try it. Say to me, this world is an invention of my mind. Yes. Yeah. The things that you see out there are just forms that you've organized within your conceptual association to keep yourself in a distance from your own thought forms. These have been the last five lessons that we've done in this series of videos. You've organized your mind in ideas of form that prevent you from seeing the entirety of your own mind association with yourself. Okay, this is a fearful experience for you, because in the moment of its occurrence, it will appear to you that you have lost your identity. In fact, you've gained the truth of who you are. You protect yourself and you die as an outcome of your need to keep that identity. Death is impossible. Death is an idea that you hold in your own mind, and you will not be successful at it. I'm within your dream now telling you that it won't work. Telling you that if you'll practice this lesson with me, here and now, that the experience that will be contained, the value that will be contained just in this little cycle of time will surprise you with its joy, its reality. The idea that the thought of God and perfection is in you now. Let's listen together. There is a light in you the world cannot perceive. And with its eyes, you will not see this light, for you are blinded by the world, yet you have eyes to see it. It is there for you to look upon. It was not placed in you to be kept hidden from your sight. This light is a reflection of the thought that we are going to practice now. To feel the love of God within you is to see the world anew, shining in innocence, alive with hope, and blessed with perfect charity and love. Who could feel fear in such a world as this? It welcomes you, rejoices that you came, and sings your praises as it keeps you safe from every form of danger and of pain. It offers you a warm and gentle home in which to stay a while. It blesses you throughout the day and watches through the night as silent guardian of your holy sleep. It sees salvation in you and protects the light in you in which it sees its own. It offers you its flowers and its snow in thankfulness for your benevolence. This is the world the love of God reveals. It is so different from the world that you see through darkened eyes of malice and of fear that one belies the other. Only one can be perceived at all. The other one is wholly meaningless. A world in which forgiveness shines on everything and peace offers its gentle light to everyone is inconceivable to those who see a world of hatred rising from attack, poised to avenge, to murder, and destroy. Yet is the world of hatred equally unseen and inconceivable to those who feel God's love in them. Their world reflects the quietness and peace that shines in them, the gentleness and innocence they see surrounding them, the joy with which they look out from the endless wells of joy within. What they have felt in them, they look upon and see its sure reflection everywhere. Let's talk just for a moment about this idea of separate minds. Human beings represent contained conceptual associations of non-communicative ideas of particulars about themselves that cannot be shared with the world. Those of you who consider yourself to be human must come to realize this. What you're seeing out in the world are reflections of your own ideas about yourself. And while it may be difficult for you momentarily, the time has come, hopefully now, where in the admission that you no longer like the particulars of this malice and greed and hatred and revenge that you previously have shared within your own mind, you have been shown a certain alternative that was always available to you. Listen carefully to me because this is the attention I'm going to give you. You can't see two worlds. Look at me. There. Most of you began to have an experience then of conversion of your own mind that re-identified yourself in a correspondence of light form that's going on simultaneously with this. The lesson that we're reading to you now shows you that there's another world that you can see if you don't attempt to identify humans separate from yourself and give them ideas of separation, of self-identity that are only contained within your own mind. Understand very fundamentally that there is no communication going on within perceptual relationships of self-identity. They can't. Each projects from himself the idea that he misidentifies about himself and then retains it within his own parameter of consciousness, in which case no communication is possible. There is no communication going on within conceptual relationships of this world. Yet it is impossible within the attempt to communicate is not contained the entirety of that capacity. And your willingness to look anew and refreshed each moment at an alternative within your own sequential idea about yourself is showing you that alternative, and it's showing it to you now. Let's practice for a minute. Say to me, there's another world that I can see. There. You know why that was true? Because it is true. It's an idea within your concepts that if you will accept in a fundamental sense will be true, because the world is changing each moment. The world that's all around you is changing each moment in its correspondence with a light form that identify it within the vibrations of what you call power of mind, or what you call molecular association of the universe. You're looking at the possibility of changing the vision of your conceptual form that holds you in body identity to a new body formulation that remains in a converting reality of the power of your mind to awaken from this dream and to see who you really are. So you can't see two worlds, can you? Yet it's possible each moment to convert from this world of sequential time, very simply because the observations of yourself are always of the past. Okay? You're seeing only what is always over anyway, projected from your mind in a future reference. If I can get you to come into the here and now with me in this meditation, you could begin to feel the joy of that happening. Let's continue with this lesson, Shavina. The experience that you're having is about to be validated by all those around you who are sharing with you the escape from this imprisonment in space-time. Listen. What would you see if you begin to practice this? The choice is given you, but learn and do not let your mind forget this law of seeing. Are you listening? You will look upon that which you feel within. If hatred finds a place within your heart, you will perceive a fearful world held cruelly in death's sharp-pointed bony fingers. If you feel the love of God within you, you will look out on a world of mercy and of love. Today we pass illusions as we seek to reach to what is true in us and feel its all-embracing tenderness, its love which knows us perfect as itself, its sight which is the gift its love bestows on us. Listen, we learn the way today. It is as sure as love itself to which it carries us, for its simplicity avoids the snares, the foolish convolutions of the world's apparent reasoning, but serve to hide. Wow. Simply do this. Be still and lay aside all thoughts of what you are and what God is. All concepts you have learned about the world, all images you hold about yourself, empty your mind of everything it thinks is either true or false, or good or bad, of every thought it judges worthy and all the ideas of which it is ashamed. Hold on to nothing. Do not bring with you one thought that the past has taught, nor one belief you ever learned before from anything. Forget this world, forget this course, and come with wholly empty hands unto your God. Are you ready to share that with me? The idea of that bony finger of death that's pointing at you, that you accept as a procedure within your own mind? Have you ever looked at the context of this world in regard to the idea of your fleshy association with yourself? The idea that you are that carbon containment within the nitrogen cloud that defines the idea that this is life? This lesson is telling you very plainly that this is not life. Yet you rigorously defend within your own mind the idea that this is reality. Okay, say to me, this is not life. I didn't hear you. Yeah, take a chance on it. The formulation you have in your mind about what you are is not what life is. What is life, you ask? Say to me, not this. This is a practice of this lesson. Say to me again, this is not what life is. It doesn't ask you for an alternative of what life is within that little concept of yourself. It does show you that the entirety of the conversion of your mind is available to you if you will decide this is not it. It's an undoing of your conceptual form that has held you in the idea of pain and death. It's not true. That's the miracle that is occurring in you now in this mind training. We're going to have to leave you for just a moment. We're going to come back. We're going to complete the idea that the formulation of your conceptual mind denies you the peace that is actually within you and can surround you if you decide to let this procedure of conversion mature in your own mind. Let's practice together for a moment. Good. Could you see that? There. There was a reflection, just a moment of a light that's within you. It's going to show you this new world of joy and happiness. This lesson that I am showing you, listening, is the lesson that you asked me within your own mind to show you at this time. All I want to show you is that it's not outside of yourself. I am a projected association within your own mind telling you that this is the time that you have decided to learn this lesson of peace and happiness. Huh? The hell with all the pain and death that you've been going through. The hell with this world. The idea of the entirety of your perfection is contained within this lesson and can be joyously shared at this time. We'll be back with you in just a moment. Remember that God is the mind with which we think, and that God is going with us wherever we go. Let's say it together. God bless us, everyone. We're glad you're back with us now because you're beginning to have the experience of the peace of God that's within us, aren't you? We're sharing together the idea that the converting mechanism contained within your own mind is a natural procedure of the inevitability of the evolution, let's call it revolution, of your mind from the idea of the dark form of your persistent association with your self-identity to the certainty that your identity is not established. There isn't any way, if you'd look at it with me for a moment, that you would not see that eternal reality does not require establishment. And indeed, the idea that you must establish it within your own conceptual association is why you're here. I can't change your mind for you, but I can tell you this. If you decide you don't like the establishment into which this world has confined you, it's very possible for you to change your mind. Okay? And as you change your mind, what? The world will change. And if you think it won't work, why don't you try it? And if you think it won't work when you try it, You can prove that it won't work, but that won't make you right. It will make you wrong. Somewhere within the procedure of your own mind, you must say, I will decide not to decide. I will understand that all of the decisions that I am making in hatred and pain and loneliness and death are confining me to this idea of my self-identity, but only for the moment when I make the decision. Okay, let's go back now and complete this lesson in the idea of the complete availability of an alternative going on with you right now. Listen. Simply do this. Be still and lay aside all thoughts of what you are and what God is. All concepts you have learned about the world, all images you hold about yourself. Listen, empty your mind of everything it thinks is either true or false, or good or bad, of every thought it judges worthy and all the ideas of which it is ashamed. Hold on to nothing. Do not bring with you one thought that the past has taught, nor one belief you ever learned before from anything. Forget this world, forget this course, and come with wholly empty hands unto your God. Is it not He who knows the way to you? Listen, you need not know the way to Him. Your part is simply to allow all obstacles that you have interposed between the Son and God the Father to be quietly removed forever. God will do His part in joyful and immediate response. Ask and receive, but do not make demands nor point the road to God by which He should appear to you. The way to reach Him is merely to let Him be, for in that way is your reality proclaimed as well. Well, and so today we do not choose the way in which we go to Him, but we do choose to let Him come. And with this choice we rest, and in our quiet hearts and open minds, His love will blaze its pathway of itself. What has not been denied is surely there, if it be true and can be surely reached. Could you hear that? God knows His Son and knows the way to Him. He does not need His Son to show Him how to find His way. Through every open door, His love shines outward from its home within and lightens up the world in innocence. Here's our prayer. Father, we do not know the way to You, but we have called and You have answered us. We will not interfere. Salvation's ways are not our own, for they belong to You. And it is unto You we look for them. Our hands are open to receive Your gifts. We have no thoughts we think apart from You, and cherish no beliefs of what we are or who created us. Yours is the way that we would find and follow. And we ask but that Your will, which is our own as well, be done in us and in the world, that it becomes a part of heaven right here and right now. What a very particular and joyous idea that contained within that prayer was everything that you could ever ask for. I'm talking to each one of you. Would you accept a fundamental idea that I'm offering you, that I'm only talking to you, that I'm attempting to communicate only with you? Ask me, say to me, are you talking to me? Yeah, I'm talking to you. I'm not talking to anyone else. Would you like to know why? There isn't anyone else. Your fundamental acceptance of this idea is really what salvation is, isn't it? All it really says is that as you conceive of yourself, you will be. And if you think of yourself as being contained in that body, in association of yourself, you cannot not get the result of it. The question really is not that. The question is, how could you be really happy with how you are looking at yourself in your belief that this world, this place of space-time, this civilization of hatred and pain and death could actually tell you who you are? Who the world tells you that you are is not true. What does Jesus say? Your father has been a liar from the beginning. The organization of this world and its apparent reality is based on the idea of separation, which is not true. The offering that I am giving you is a continuing reconsideration of the formulation of your own mind. And based on what we're seeing now, I see we're being successful at it. Understand that your viewing of this video will be an imperative part of the reassociation of your own mind with yourself, very simply because it is. Let's try it. Say to me, this is the only time there is. Yes. Yes. There's not another time. Huh? The past is over and gone. The future, not yet. Can I get you to share with me that at this moment contained within the formulation of the ideas in your own mind is a certainty of self that I am expressing for you in the moment of your recognition of it, or your expression to me of that certainty that we now share in a new communication in a new place in space-time? That this occurrence actually did happen, and that we did leave this world together, and that we are back in heaven? Can you share that with me? This is a recollection contained within your own mind of a sojourn into time that is actually over. You are remembering it from outside of time. What's happened? You've gone back in time to the beginning of the occurrence within the black hole, within the dark form of your mind, which propelled you outside of the frame of reference of yourself, shortened the distance in time by which you identify yourself, and are showing you a new continuum of yourself contained within this procedure. It's important that you remember you can't see two worlds. If you don't want this world, start denying it. Okay, this is directly from my Savior Jesus. So deny that you are a body laid in the idea that you must suffer the consequences of this mind. Or what? You will get the consequences of your own thoughts. And in your denial of the consequences will be the certainty that will emerge in you of who you really are at this time and place. Are you listening? It's impossible that what I am telling you is not true. And also, you did not undergo this procedure of transformation, being born again, metamorphosis of your mind, and have left this dream of death. You're now sharing in a new dream of life the moment of that conversion. Let's read together from the text. It'll just take a few minutes, but it goes along with this lesson that there are two worlds and that you can only see one or the other, and that your readjustment in the continuity of time, the idea of kata, separation, what Jesus calls sin, what the religious establishment says sin, was only a moment's separation from the totality of what you are, in which you now feel the guilt of being separate. This is a correction that will move you in the alignment of the light into a sudden realization of the joy that's all around you. Listen to this from the text. You have been told to bring the darkness to the light and guilt to holiness. And you have also been told that error must be corrected at its source, which is you. Therefore, It is the tiny part of yourself, the little thought that seems split off and separate, that the Holy Spirit needs. The rest is fully in God's keeping and needs no guide. Yet this wild and delusional thought needs help because in its delusions, it thinks it is the Son of God, whole and omnipotent, sole ruler of the kingdom it's set apart to tyrannize by madness into obedience and slavery. Can you hear this? This is the little part you think you stole from heaven. Give it back to heaven. Heaven has not lost it, but you have lost sight of heaven. Let the Holy Spirit remove it from the withered kingdom in which you set it off, surrounded by darkness, guarded by attack, and reinforced by hate. Within its barricades is still a tiny segment of the Son of God, complete and holy, serene, and unaware of what you think surrounds it. Be you not separate, for the one who does surround it has brought union to you, returning your little offering of darkness to the eternal light. How is this done? It is extremely simple, being based on what this little kingdom really is. The barren sands, the darkness, and the lifelessness are seen only through the body's eyes. Its bleak sight is distorted, and the messages it transmits to you who make it to limit your awareness are little and limited and so fragmented that they are meaningless. From the world of bodies made by insanity, insane messages seem to be returned to the mind that make it. And these messages bear witness to this world, pronouncing it as true. For you send forth these messengers to bring this back to you. Everything these messages relay to you is quite external. There are no messages that speak of what lies underneath, for it is not the body that could speak of this. Its eyes perceive it not. Its senses remain quite unaware of it. Its tongue cannot relay its messages. Yet God can bring you there if you are willing to follow the Holy Spirit through seeming terror, trusting Him not to abandon you and leave you there. For it is not His purpose to frighten you, but only what? Only yours. You are severely tempted to abandon Him at the outside ring of fear, but He would lead you safely through and far beyond. Listen, the circle of fear lies just below the level the body sees and seems to be the whole foundation on which the world is based. Here are all the illusions, all the twisted thoughts, all the insane attacks, the fury, the vengeance and betrayal that were made to keep the guilt in place so that the world could rise from it and keep it hidden. Its shadow rises to the surface enough to hold its most external manifestations in darkness and to bring despair and loneliness to it and keep it joyous. Yet its intensity is veiled by its heavy coverings and kept apart from what was made to keep it hidden. The body cannot see this, for the body arose from this for its protection, which depends on keeping it not seen. The body's eyes will never look on it, yet they will see what it dictates. Listen, the body will remain guilt's messenger and will act as it directs, as long as you believe that guilt is real. For the reality of guilt is the illusion that seems to make it heavy and opaque, impenetrable in a real foundation for the human's thought system. Its thinness and transparency are not apparent until you see the light behind it, and then you see it as a fragile veil before the light. We're back for just a moment because I wanted you to see the value and the idea, the lesson that we're offering you at this time. Listen with me. This is a fundamental idea that the place in which you locate yourself is the source of all of what you would call the potential of space-time. It says very simply that your body is a projection from the displacement of yourself and represents in you the certainty that you come from this idea of containment. Will you look at it with me? That's where the falsity of you lies. If you look with me at the idea that the universe is mind and that the manifestations of space-time are light, you can see with me that if you believe you come from a source of a misestablishment of the idea of separation, you cannot see that directly below that source of the projection of your mind is the entirety of the moment of conversion. I'm not certain how clear this is to you because I'm not certain how to express it, but I would like to share with you the idea that contained within your idea of separation cannot not be the entirety of who you are. And while that communication with the reality, if you looked at it as coming out of eternity back into time, a break in communication occurred. Will you share that with me? This world that you see is a misplacement of the moment where the entirety of who you are can be recognized. Will you look at that? Let's look at it together. The light of the expression about yourself that you're feeling now, okay, is revealing to you of the releases of the foundation that you had held within your own conceptual mind on which to base your reality. Let's look at it as what you term anti-gravity for a moment. And then I can show to you what it really is. If you take the forms of the contagion of the idea of separation, they cannot not represent a defense from the entirety of the energy of light association that is what the universe is. You identify that as a caving in or a gravity that is forcing you down into this association. What you must see from me is the force of the universe is not in conflict with you, but that you, as a conceptual association of yourself in the idea of your potential, are in conflict with the inevitability of the collapse of your own containment. The manner in which I'm asking you to see this solution is to become, say to me, pro-gravity. Yes. Rather than trying to resist the entirety of the collapse, allow yourself to share in the power that will be available to you in the collapse, which will take you below the barrier that's been established to the moment when communication was reestablished. Be in favor of what you previously feared. Can you see that with me? I'm going to read you two more paragraphs from the text that are good indications of what you're actually sharing with me. Listen. This heavy-seeming barrier, this artificial floor that looks like rock, is like a bank of low dark clouds that seem to be a solid wall before the sun. Its impenetrable appearance is wholly an illusion. It gives way softly to the mountaintops that rise above it and has no power at all to hold back anyone willing to climb above it and see the sun. It is not strong enough to stop a button's fall nor hold a feather. Try but to touch it and it disappears. Attempt to grasp it and your hand holds nothing. Listen. Yet in this cloud bank, it is easy to see a whole world rising. A solid mountain range, a lake, a city, all rise in your imagination, and from the clouds, the messengers of your perception return to you, assuring you that it is there. Listen. Figures stand out and move about, actions seem real, and forms appear and shift from loveliness to the grotesque, and back and forth they go, as long as you would play the game of children's make-believe. Yet however long you play it, and regardless of how much imagination you bring to it, you do not confuse it with the world below, nor seek to make it real, and this is what your problem is. What a joyous idea that this is available to you in this text. This is A Course in Miracles coming to you with new ideas about the whole universe that obviously do not come from this world. They offer you the certainty of a reconceptual association that's possible for you in the admission of the entirety of the illusionary nature of this world. It's the same idea as the universe is expressed as totally chaotic, with no meaning whatsoever, and certainly as you attempt to identify it within your own conceptual idea of space-time, it will appear chaotic because it is. But it is only chaotic because you attempt to organize it. The idea of your need to organize it within the conceptual forms of yourself are what chaos is. I hope you were able to see that with me. What I'm offering you is my certainty that the entirety of reality is not at all concerned about the establishment of your conceptual self. Could you see that with me? God, the single source of reality, will show you yourself in any direction or in any place in space-time that you are willing to accept it. Okay, let it be totally chaotic for just a moment in the idea of separation, and it cannot not continue to reorganize itself in the truth of what you are. Okay, can you see this? God judges not. This from my Savior Jesus. He said, God does not judge. He's left judgment to you. And as you change your mind about what you are, the power is given you to recognize your entirety within your own self. And this you are asked to do so that you can heal the sick and you can raise the dead and you can depart from the illusion of the idea that you could have been separate from God. Thank you for your willingness to listen to my uncompromising determination to you that there is no world. My certainty that you cannot be separate from everything that is the offering that I have given to you and that you have accepted. You cannot be separate from everything that is. The idea that you could get old and sick and die was an illusion contained with a misidentity of your source that is over and gone. Thank you for sharing with me this message of our entire reassociation with the universe and beyond. This is the time and place that it did happen. This is the time and place that you individually recognized it. We are sharing together right at this time that certainty. And in that blaze of light right there will be the loss entirely of the illusion of your separation. And this world will be over and gone. Remember that God goes with us wherever we go. Because God is the mind with which we are thinking together. I hope I see you again very soon. Remember that at this moment in time was the decision made. So we can say together, God bless us, everyone.